Morning, Redemption Church. Man, I tell you what, I told myself I wasn't going to make a comment about the bumper video because Carter makes one every week. But there's just something that happens when you're standing behind that screen and the bumper's going. I really just had this thought while I was standing behind there that I was going to jump out and just be like, but just something. So I get it now, I guess. Hope everybody's doing well. Thank you for joining us this morning, even though you lost an hour of sleep. For those that don't know me, my name is Jacob, and I'm one of the pastors here at Redemption Church. And I get the privilege of bringing the message this morning and wrapping up our series on relationships. And I hope that as I wrap the series up, I hope I do it in a way that is both encouraging for you, but also then helps us to build God-glorifying relationships. So if you have a copy of Scripture, you guys can go ahead and open up to Ecclesiastes. We're going to start there, Ecclesiastes 4 in verses 9 through 12. We're going to start there, and then after that, we're going to move into Genesis 1 through 3. But before we move to our last relationship, I did want to quickly go over where we have been the past couple weeks. The last 5 weeks, we have been talking about relationships that we have in our life. And if you missed any of them, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can find them on our website. You can go to YouTube and see them and listen to them. We have them on a podcast. And as your pastors, we thought this was a sermon series that was good because at our core, as human beings, we are created for relationships. Relationships are of utmost importance in our life. And our first and most important relationship is with God. The first sermon looked at how God created us for relationships. With himself first, because he is our creator, and we were made for a relationship with him. And then the second sermon, we talked about how to correctly view yourself, to listen to God's voice for your value, that we were made in his image, and because of that, we all, no matter who you are, have value and worth. We were fearfully and wonderfully made, to quote the psalmist. So no matter who you are valuable. And from there, we went into the roles of men and women. Men are to lead, not because we are more important, but because that is how God designed our role. And something I heard in college that's always stuck with me, that in Scripture, when we see God move, he's always doing it because of two things, either provision or protection. And guys, to lead is to be like God in that. Are we providing and protecting? Are we going first through selfless sacrifice daily for others? And I know that's convicting to me because, guys, I like my reclining chair, okay? I'll be honest, at the end of the day, I like some me time. It's hard to be sacrificing. And last week, we flipped to women, and Tamara reminded the ladies in the room that it is your responsibility to help men lead. And that's the unique role that God has given you in his creation order. And so that was where we've been. So now to this week, friendships. We're going to be talking about friendships today. The last 2 weeks might have been the more controversial in our culture. This week, I don't think it's going to be controversial. But I do think that our culture is a little bit confused on exactly what friendships are. Okay, like for instance, take this quote from the greatest boxer in boxing history, Muhammad Ali, "I am the greatest." He said, "Friendship is the hardest thing in the world to explain. It's not something you learn in school, but if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything." It's pretty profound from a boxer. But guys, I don't think he said it was hard to explain because he took one too many punches. I believe he didn't know because our culture really doesn't know. And in his defense, I mean, friendships can be kind of hard to explain. I bet if I asked everyone in this room right now what your definition of a friend is, I would get a little bit different answer from everybody. In fact, this past week, I did a little experiment. I texted the staff of Redemption Church, okay, because I wanted to see what they said. And so I asked them to define what a friend is without Googling it, so they couldn't have any help, just what was off the top of their head. And secretly, I was hoping that I would get some off-the-wall crazy answer, but none of them really gave me a crazy answer, so I can't share that with you. They were funny, though. You could see their personalities come out in their answers. Like, for instance, Carter, our lead pastor here, he was super intellectual. He talked about, like, levels of friendship and that some are more like family and some are more like social and you have fun with them. And then Matt, our current resident, it was super long. If you know Matt, you know what I'm talking about. It was super good, though. He talked about trust and time. It was good. Thanks, Matt. Caitlin actually didn't know who I was. So I don't know what that says about our friendship, but that was her answer. My favorite answer was from Michael. And Michael said that when he thought about what a friend is, he thought about the theme song to Golden Girls. And if you know it, thank you for being a friend, traveling down this road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. Thank you for being a friend. So it was great. So everybody's answers were a little bit the same, but they were a little different at the same time. Which this leads me to believe that a lot of time our experiences are what defines our relation or what a friendship is, instead of what God has declared friendships to be. And like the other relationships we've talked about, God is the one who designed friendship. Therefore, in order to have friendships that are thriving, we have to look to Jesus. And so for you note takers, our main point today is that Jesus is our truest friend. And so let me give you a roadmap of where we're going to go today. We're going to look at why we need friendships first, and then we're going to look at what a friend is. And then to end our time, we're going to show how Jesus has been the truest and dearest friend to us from the beginning. And so first, why do we need friendships? I mean, we have all these other relationships, right? We have our relationship with God, we have our parents, we have spouses, brothers and sisters, we have aunts and uncles, cousins. I mean, is there anything special about friendships specifically? And I would argue that yes, there is something special about friendships that God has created us for, both for practical reasons, but then also for a spiritual reason, okay? So we're going to start with the practical first. There are a lot of practical reasons for friendship that God designed in life. For today, I'm going to simplify those into two. God designed friendships for our provision and protection. So from Ecclesiastes 4, we can see some of these practical benefits of friendship. Verses 9 through 12 says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people laying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So the Bible here is giving us some straightforward, practical truths here, okay? Friends can help you succeed in life. You want to be successful in life? Get in some relationships with people, okay? There have been so many studies that all say that friendship leads to a better quality of life. So one example of this is our physical health. I read a bunch of articles on how friendship affects our physical health. I read in one study that boys were followed up to the age of 32. Those who reported having had lots of friends in childhood had lower blood pressure and were more likely to be a healthy weight than those who were less sociable. In a 2010 meta-analysis of 148 studies, looking at the data of 308,849 people in total, found that the participants with stronger social relationships had a 50% higher chance of survival over an average of 7.5 years than those without. So these studies show that people with good friendships are more physically healthy. And not only our physical health, but friendship also helps us to be mentally healthy. Like in Ecclesiastes, it says that two stand back to back and conquer. It gives this imagery of a battle where soldiers are standing back to back, defending one another, right? Helping one another to withstand the onslaught of the enemy. And we may not be in a physical battle, but we are in a war. 1 Peter 5:8 says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The war of the mind is a real thing. The enemy wants you to believe things about yourself that just aren't true, like that you aren't valuable to God. And he wants you to fall into things like depression and anxiety and stress. And the numbers show that a lot of people are losing the battle of the mind. Studies estimate 1 in 5 people deal with mental issues daily. Guys, that's 59 million people daily in the U.S. alone. But friendships have proven to reduce depression, anxiety, and stress. You see, God created friendships to build one another up in Christ, to encourage one another, to help us keep going. That's why community groups are so important. If you're not in one, get in one this week. So that when the war of the mind comes along, we can keep each other accountable and remind one another of the truths that God has declared about you. That's the practical reason of why we have friendships. Friends help us thrive in this life. It's the way we're built. Okay? So let's talk about the spiritual reason why we have friends. Just like we said in the first sermon of this series, it starts with God. God created friendships because God is a friend by nature. In Genesis 1, we see God create everything from the heavens to the earth. At the peak of his creation, he creates man. And when he created man, he says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" It's Genesis 1:26. And most of the time when we bring up this verse, we just talk about the image of God. And when I was studying what friendship is, one of the common things that kept popping up about friendship is that it's voluntary. God did not have to make us, guys. I know that might sting a little, but it's true. God was complete in himself. God already had everything that he needed within himself. He already had a relationship within himself. You notice in the Genesis verse, it's plural. God is one God, but he's made up of three parts. We can see this in verses like 2 Corinthians 13:14, which says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." We see how God has three parts. He's God the Father, he's Jesus the Son, and he's the Holy Spirit. And we see these different sides of God make up one God who in himself is complete. So he didn't need us. But if that last part stung, that he didn't need us, this next part should be comforting. He wanted us. In the beginning, we see that God chose to create us. God voluntarily made a choice to make us because he wanted a people to commune with. And not only did he choose to make us, but he did make us in his own image. God not only chose to make us, but gave us his likeness. There's nothing in the world else that's like God. Nothing else represents God like you and me. That shows that we are valued by him and that he gave us his best. When you give something your best, you value it. You care for it. We can know that we have value and worth because God chose to make you and chose to make you in his image. And not only did he choose to create you, but he's also intimate with you. right? If we look at the creation of Adam in Genesis chapter 2, it's very intimate, right? From the dust, God forms Adam and breathed life into him. It's intimate. It's close. And my imagination runs a little wild here, but it really makes me think of an artist who passionately is making their masterpieces. Kind of like the Mona Lisa. So the Mona Lisa, did you know that Leonardo da Vinci took 16 years to paint it? Like 16 years. Can you imagine spending time on one thing for 16 years? I can't. That's crazy. But it took him 16 years because they say that he wanted the Mona Lisa to be perfect. He spent time, he spent years perfecting the light and the shadows to make this realistic painting that later on became famous. And when God created Adam, he spent time making every detail. He was intimate in the process then. And guys, he continues to be intimate in creation today. He doesn't create out of mud anymore, but through conception. There are multiple verses that allude to the fact that God is forming and creating through childbearing. As mothers in the room, what you go through for 9 months is a beautiful thing. And I know when you're going through it, my wife has had two children, I know when you're going through it, it does not feel like it's a beautiful thing. But God is creating a blessing through you. Children are a blessing. And so just as a side note, thank you, mothers, for what you do. And guys, if you're not a mother, all you men, just know that God was intimate in making you who you are from conception until now. And I say now because God wants to be your friend in everyday life. God is there to walk with you. In Genesis 3, verse 8, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Guys, if I wasn't preaching this sermon, I guarantee 9 out of 10 times, I would probably just fly by this verse, okay? And just not think about it twice. But the fact that the Lord God was walking in the garden is just mind-blowing. Guys, I built this message around this thought that God walked with Adam and Eve. Like, just think about that for a second. That the God of the universe, the one that created the sun, the moon, the earth, and everything in it, the one that holds everything by his right hand, the one that is perfect and all-knowing, that God walked with them. He went to them. He spent time with them. Like with Adam, he showed all of Adam everything he made and how it worked. Like, could you imagine walking and talking and learning from the God of the universe himself? Right? That is mind-blowing because of who God is. It would be like if the President of the United States walked up to your door and decided to walk alongside you in your everyday life. The president using all of his power in order to help you with your everyday tasks. Like you had unlimited resources from the United States government with everything that you do. Right? That would be crazy, right? Probably make your life a little easier. And it would be crazy because of the position and power that the president holds. Well, God's position and power are infinitely greater than that of the president. And that's exactly what he did in the garden. And he's still doing it today. Even though we cannot physically see him like Adam and Eve, he's still walking alongside you. John 14, 17 says, "You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The moment that you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. So like my man Bobby Brown says, every little step I take, we can be together, okay? You can't get closer than that, right? God is in you. He's there walking with you, even when you don't feel like he is. And I know in a room with this many people, there are those that aren't believing God is with you. But you can know that Jesus is the truest friend who will never leave or forsake you. And we know this because of the gospel. Jesus went to the cross and died for you so that you may live. A couple of months ago, Michael, when he was preaching, he told a sermon illustration about a prisoner in a Japanese prison camp. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but the short version is a shovel went missing from the camp. And the commander of the camp was willing to kill every prisoner in the camp because of one missing shovel. And right before the firing squad was to kill everyone in the camp, a man stepped up and said that he took the shovel. Well, because of that, he was beaten to death. And later on, they found out that the shovels had just been miscounted. The man died so that others may live. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus died to restore our relationship and so that we could live. And if he did that, then you can trust that he is there. Man, guys, talk to him. Trust that he's there. Don't you think if he went through creating you and forming you and providing for you in so many ways, including your salvation through his death, that you can trust his promise that he will be with you until the end of the age? You can. He is our truest friend, and he walks with us. Guys, I go through all that God shows us, and that he is intimate with us, and that he spent time with us, and he walks with us. I go through all that because that is who God is. It's not just what he does. He goes through those things because God is friend. It's in his nature. We have friendships because friendship shows who God is. And when we show true friendship, we show the very nature of God. We are bearing his image in the world when we are true friends to others. That is why friendships exist, to point people back to the friendship that God longs and desires with each and every one of us. Just like marriage points to the union that we have with Christ, true friendship points to the relationship that God wants with us. Okay, so for the rest of our time, I want to get a little more practical. So that leads us to our next section. What is friendship? We answered the why, that friendships are good for us, and it shows God's nature. But now, what is a friend? Let's talk about that for a few minutes. There is a lot we could say here, but I just don't have time to fully devote to every single detail. I want to give a brief explanation of levels of friendship, a couple characteristics of a friend, and then my definition of what a friend is. Okay? So first, we have got to realize that all friendships will not look the same. I know some of you think that you can have deep relationships with every single person that you meet, but guys, that's just not feasible. It's not possible. Okay? One psychologist, Robin Dunbar, says that people can have at most 5 deep relationships, or friendships, sorry, and up to 150 friends or acquaintances. And she bases this on brain capacity and time. And I don't know about you, but I think 150 is kind of crazy. Okay. I don't think I have the brain capacity for that. I have the brain capacity for about 20, let alone 150. But that's what she says. As human beings, we are limited in time and space to be able to do only so much. And so friendships will be deep. Some friendships will be deeper than others, okay? And so if you think about it as concentric circles, and we'll start in the center, and then we're going to work our way out. Our deepest friendship as a Christ follower should be with Jesus. That relationship should influence all the other friendships. Let me give you an example of how this plays out, okay? If you're a Christ follower, then you believe that all people have value and worth, right? We've been talking about that. Everyone is special, no matter where they are in your circle. But if you don't believe in Jesus, then you aren't starting with the belief that all people have value just for being who they are. If you don't start with Jesus, then people are just people. And their value comes from what they do, not who they are. Okay? And so the people in your inner circle, yeah, you'll treat them with love and respect. But as you go out from your circle, as you go further out in your relationships, you'll treat people with less respect, less dignity, less love. You see, people have less value without Jesus at the center of our lives. Jesus gives us all the same value. Okay? So he has to be at our center. And then as we move out to the next level, we see our close friends. These are your ride or die friends. Ones that will answer the phone at 2 a.m. when you call them. Those friends, okay? The friends in this circle are more like family than they are friends. But this circle is limited, right? We can only have so many, so it's smaller. Not many people can fit into the circle. And the reason why is because this circle, it takes time. It takes lived life with one another. And both of those things are limited in our life. We only have so much of it. But even though the quantity is limited, the quality is so important for us in our lives. This circle will influence you in ways that few things in life will. So hopefully the people that you have in this circle are building you up in Christ. And I would encourage you this week to sit down and think who is in the circle for you. Think about the friends that have supported you and helped build you into the person that you are today. And maybe if they've been good friends, maybe reach out to them this week and thank them for being such a good friend to you. But before I move on, I do want to acknowledge something. Some of you may have people in the circle that do not build you up in Christ. They tear you down. And you may be inclined to think, by today's message, that I just need to completely cut them out of my life. I am going to say something that some of you will disagree with, and that's okay. I hope we can give each other grace if that's us. Our culture likes to cancel relationships when a friend disagrees with you. We are too quick to cut people out of our lives because a friend is toxic. We pass judgment and condemn others. Guys, can I tell you what the Bible says about us? We're all toxic. We're all toxic. We have all sinned and fallen. None of us are perfect as friends and people. We've hurt somebody else at some point in our life. We've given bad advice. We have said things that we regret. And because of our failure, Jesus had to die, but he didn't cut us out of his life. He did the opposite of that. He actually came to us and restored us through his death because he loved us and showed grace to us at the cross. He was the truest friend. So maybe what you need to do today is to show that friend grace first. Show them the grace that Christ showed you. But then you also might need to take another step. And that step is to take a step in wisdom and maybe move that friend from being your close friend out a circle to the next one. And I'm going to call this circle just friends. The people in this circle are the people that you see regularly and you know them. You would know their name and maybe you might know some other information about them. But they aren't coming over for dinner every week. You know, you're not hanging out with them and texting them on the daily. Okay. Examples might be your coworkers, could be people at your church, possibly your neighbors. The depth of the friendship is more broad in this circle. Okay. They could be friends that you have common interests with and just have fun with. It could be an accountability partner, like you trust them and look to them for advice. But for whatever reason, doesn't go any further than that. Like, for example, there example I have in my life, I'm not going to tell you his name, but there's somebody that I've known for a long time and I think is one of the wisest persons I know on this earth. Him and I aren't great friends. We don't text every day. He's not my close friend. We don't hang out that much. But like, for instance, when we chose to move to Roanoke, before we said yes to moving, me and my wife went and met with him and his wife because we cherish and respect his wisdom because we knew he was for our good and that he loved Jesus. And so in that, we were close in the fact that we're close enough that I could trust his word, but I'm also not going to hang out with him to go play paintball or something. He's just not that fun. Our personalities just don't match up. That's just all it is. So you can still love them and know them, but the relationship just isn't as deep as close friends. And guys, you can break up friendships more than this. I'm going to lump everybody else in the world in this last category. The last category is stranger, which I went back and forth on the title of this category. I thought about calling it like neighbors or acquaintances. I thought strangers just kind of had this negative connotation to it. Strangers kind of made me think of people we didn't know, and you could kind of just like ignore them, if that makes sense. And so I wanted to make it sound better, just to be honest. But then I went to scripture, okay? I did the super spiritual thing, and I Googled strangers Bible verses. Yep, that was me. And the first two verses that popped up on the screen were Leviticus 19:34 and Hebrews 13:2. Leviticus says, "You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself." And Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." So no matter where people fall on the spectrum for you, whether they're your close friends, you're just friends, or they're strangers, as Christians, we should be showing them that they are loved. Leviticus makes me think of the greatest commandment, right? It tells us to love the stranger as yourself. Well, how does God see you as a human being? This is what we've been talking about. With value and worth. Therefore, strangers have value and worth in God's eyes just for being. So while there are levels of closeness and friendship, we should love, respect, and show honor to all people, regardless of the closeness of their friendship to us. We should show hospitality to those around us. We should encourage one another in Christ. We should build each other up, whether the person is our best friend or it's that coworker that frustrates us on a daily basis. But that's where the rubber meets the road, right? As a friend, God is calling us to sacrifice for our friends. That's why I defined a friend as someone who chooses to walk and sacrificially serve alongside others in life. To be a true friend, we have to make the choice to be a friend, to spend time with others. We have to be willing to serve our friends through loving them and building them up, especially when the busyness of life comes. But the truth is that we aren't very good friends. We let down and we get let down by others. And sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's unintentionally. I read an article when I was preparing for this message about friendship. And the title of the article was "Why Friendships Change in Their 30s. And I had to read it because, well, I'm in my 30s, guys. I'm 37. So I know I look a lot younger. Thanks. But the point of the article is that friendship for people in their 30s change. We go from being friend-focused in our teens and in our 20s to being focused on our children's lives and or careers, which I see this in my life. I mean, believe it or not, I used to be a social butterfly. I used to get energized by hanging out with groups of friends. But now that I have my son's karate on Monday nights and I have community groups on Thursdays and then I have both kids' swimming lessons on Saturdays and then I have the numerous other things that just pop up randomly every single week, it seems. It takes up my time, and the truth of the matter is we only have so much time and friendship takes the back seat. So I get it. I truly do. But guys, people are the mission. Hannah, if you want to go ahead and come up. God has called us to use our relationships for his glory. Are you leveraging your friendships for the mission or letting your friendships fizzle out? Are you loving your friends like you love yourself, or are you loving your comfort? We cannot love the people around us if we aren't intentionally taking time to be around our friends. And like I said, sometimes we do this unintentionally, sometimes we do it intentionally. We have failed at being good friends to those around us. But what is great is that there is grace in Jesus. Whether we have failed unintentionally because of our time or intentionally because we've hardened our hearts to others, there is grace. There is grace because we have a great friend in Jesus. You know, when I think of what a great friend is, I actually think of Disney's Jungle Book, which is my favorite Disney movie. Don't judge me. If you haven't watched it, you should. It really is a good movie. It's both ridiculous and funny. It's about a baby that gets left in the jungle and gets raised by wolves. And when Mowgli, the baby, gets to be a teenager, he has to leave the jungle to go back to the man village where he would be safe from the tiger Shere Khan. And of course, like any good teenager, he rebels and he doesn't leave the jungle. And in the final scene of the movie, we see the tiger catch up to Mowgli. And right before Shere Khan is about to jump on Mowgli and grab him to kill him, Baloo the bear. Baloo the bear grabs the tiger's tail. And in the scene, we see Baloo holding onto the tail with dear life. Honestly, it looks more like he's skiing from the back of the boat than from the back of a tiger. But he's keeping Mowgli from getting caught by Shere Khan. And eventually, the tiger turns on Baloo. And he hurts him to where he lets go of the tail and he falls on the ground motionless. And then lightning comes and fire comes and it scares off the tiger. But before the scene ends, the animals gather around Baloo's body. And Bagheera the panther, he says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Guys, that's a verse from John 15. And it's talking about Jesus. I want to read that. It says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you." Guys, I think about all the wicked things that I've done. I think about how I've rebelled against God, how I go about my day without even acknowledging him. I've been a terrible friend to both God and to others. And Romans 5 tells us that because of our sin, we are enemies of God. Not just that we're acquaintances, but enemies of God. That hostility between us and God drove a wedge between us in our relationships, both with himself, but then also with others. And yet, even though all of that is true, Jesus is our truest friend. Jesus still laid down his life so that we could live. And he did so willingly. He chose us. When we broke that relationship, Jesus came to restore it. He left the comforts of heaven to be born on this earth. He experienced every hardship that we face and more. He lived as the perfect friend, both to the Father and to those around him. He should have been celebrated. But instead, he laid down his life so that we could be called friend. So when we place our faith in the work of Jesus, that wall of hostility is broken down. Can I ask you something this morning? Do you feel like you're a friend of God? Be honest with yourself. Do you feel like there's a wall of hostility, that it has been broken down? Or do you feel like there is still that wall of guilt and shame? We don't have to feel that way. If you do feel like there's still that wall, if you've believed in Jesus, he crushed that wall with the nails in his hands and feet. He bled on a cross to pay the price for your life, so that in faith, you are friend. Believe that today. Jesus chose you. Jesus loves you. You are valued by him. He proved that when he went to the cross. And if you haven't believed in Jesus, I would ask you to consider. I heard one author say that Jesus provided everything our hearts long for: love, peace, and joy. Through Jesus' friendship, we get all those things, both now and forever, because Jesus is our truest friend. And guys, to end our time today, we're going to move into a time of prayer and communion. This is a time to pray, praise, and practice. We believe that communion is a first step of obedience coming out of the preaching of God's word. It's a symbol of what God has done for you. And it's through Jesus' broken body and spilt blood that we can be called friends of God. So here in a minute, I'm going to pray. And guys, what I'd ask, if you aren't a Christ follower, we'd ask you not to observe communion with us. This is a symbol for those that put their faith in Jesus. But if you are a Christ follower today, after I pray, come up front and grab your elements. And if you need to pray, guys, come up here, kneel, pray. Whether you need to ask for forgiveness for how you've been to others, or you just want to praise God for being your friend, use the space today to get before God. And after I pray, Pastor Carter is going to come up and he's going to lead us in communion together. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for being our friend. I mean, it really is. Like, when you think about it, it makes no sense that you're our friend. We've gone so far away from you, from the earliest age to the oldest age. But you still sent Jesus on our behalf to live the life that we were supposed to as friend. And he died the death that we deserve for not being your friend. And in faith, because of what Jesus did, you now look on us like you look on Jesus as friend. And even though it doesn't make much sense to this earthly mind, man, I just thank you for being my friend. Thank you for loving us, God. In your holy name.
Thanks so much for listening with us today. We hope that it was an encouragement to you. But you know, we don't see this as a replacement for gathering with other believers in a local church context. So if you don't have a local church, we would encourage you to plug in with one wherever you are. And if you're in Roanoke, Virginia, we'd love to invite you to plug in with us here at Redemption Church. And you're welcome anytime to gather with us, but you can check us out online at our website, redemptionroanoke.com. You can look for other content or resources there. But thanks again for listening.